Please to sit down and let's hear from God's word.
This morning's reading is from John 6, verses 1 to 15 and verses 25 to 59. It's quite a long reading, so just bear with me. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish and they all ate as much as they wanted. And everyone was full. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so there is nothing wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this, the miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he's the prophet we've been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. And from verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth because you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What shall we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?" "After all, our ancestors ate manna when they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives us life in the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God, who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of you, although of all those he has given me, but I should raise them up to the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, "I am bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't that Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, 'I come down from heaven'?" But Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father. Only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I offer so the world may live is my flesh. And the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man say, give us his flesh to eat, they asked. So Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is a true food and my blood is a true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in him and I in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die, as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Thank you, God, for the reading.
Let's pray.
Father, speak your word to us now, we pray. Open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Special gold star to Margaret for our Bible reading this morning and for keeping going. I had a feeling when I asked, I didn't ask Margaret to do it, Carol did, but when I selected that reading for today, that not everybody would totally engage with it all the way through. In fact, I did have mercy on you. I think there were about 20 other verses I really should have included to tell you the whole of the story. It's a long passage. It seems to ramble quite a bit, as John's Gospel sometimes does. But I thought it would be good to sort of squeeze in as much as possible of that reading. If it encourages you after the service to sit down and read it and take some time with it, that will be good. So I'm going to try and help us to sort of navigate our way around John chapter 6 this morning. But a first thought, some Christians tell me that they are the sort of believers who like to keep things simple. I won't ask you to put your hand up, but some of us are like that. We want to have a simple faith. Simple can be very, very good. There were people who met Jesus who had a very simple faith in him, like a blind man who thought that Jesus could heal him. And that simple faith was rewarded. Strikes me there are a couple of dangers in wanting a simple faith. One is that sometimes simple can be wrong. And sometimes we can have this idea of who God is that might actually not be right. And we might have to be open to the idea that things are harder to work out than we thought they were. And if we really do work things out, we might end up having to think differently to how we thought. That's what happened at the feeding of the 5,000. The people who saw that feeding of the 5,000 thought that it was pretty simple. Jesus has fed us. He's going to be king. We will make him king. Isn't everything going to be great? And Jesus responds, well, first of all, by running away, because he just can't handle this. And then when he comes back, by giving them this long talk in John chapter 6, that completely confuses them. You ever done this? This happened to me a while ago, last year or so. I read a book, and by the end of this book, I was totally confused. And I read this book, and I thought, you know, I think the author of this book is onto something. I'm going to read it again. So I read it again. And after my second read of this book, I thought, I'm still pretty confused. But I was so determined, I thought, I'm going to read this again. In fact, I read this book 5 times. And after I'd read the book 5 times, I thought, I think I'm beginning to get what the author is trying to say. And I think John chapter 6 is a bit like this. We read this and we think, what are you going on about? And, you know, there's this bit where they say to Jesus, this is hard. Who can accept this? We're just not getting it. See, I think the other danger of wanting things simple is that God is incredibly wonderful, incredibly complex, far greater than any of us could ever imagine. There is no such thing as a simple God. And if we try and reduce him to things that we can understand, then we're going to be in trouble. So in John's gospel, when John is trying to explain what eternal life is about, he uses picture after picture, sometimes from miracles that Jesus did, sometimes from things that Jesus says. It's like, if you want to understand what eternal life is like, you have to pick up a bit from this miracle and a bit from this miracle and a bit from this one and a bit from this one. You know, Jesus, I am the bread. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. Every one of these is teaching us something about what eternal life looks like. And when we get it, it is so much more vast than our simple brains are capable of trying to understand. When I was a lot younger than I am today, in my early days at secondary school, I got very interested in science. I can remember the sort of things in my life that just really struck me. And one was an early science lesson. And in this science lesson, I kind of got the feeling, you know, if we can understand science, then we can understand everything. And I learned, I was really excited as I got into this chemistry and physics, and I learned about Newton's laws, and I learned about protons and electrons and neutrons. Some of you, well, all of us, I guess, have been through this. Some of us found it exciting. Some of us found it boring. But there was this sense that if we could just understand a few basic principles, that we might just understand everything. This excitement with science lasted for, maybe 7 or 8 years. Until I was at university and we started to do quantum mechanics. Now, there's one or two people going, what on earth are you talking about? And there was one scientist in the congregation with a huge smile on his face this morning. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to attempt to explain quantum mechanics. Ask Dave. David will explain quantum mechanics after the service if you want him to. Quantum mechanics is bats. Okay? Einstein said that if quantum mechanics is correct, the whole world would be crazy. And a later scientist responded saying he was right. The world is crazy. One scientist said, I think I can safely say that nobody understands quantum mechanics. Another one, Heisenberg, famous for his uncertainty principle. This is the quote I really want to try and, well, one of two quotes by him I really want to try and grapple with. He describes discussing with another scientist called Bohr the experiments that they were doing. I remember the discussions. We went through many hours till very late at night, and we ended almost in despair. And when at the end of the discussion, I went alone for a walk in the neighboring park, I repeated to myself again and again the question, can nature possibly be as absurd as it seemed to us in these experiments? He's kind of using religious, spiritual language there. I went for a walk in the park. I'm pondering, can it be this crazy? Can it be this absurd? I wonder how many of us have gone for the walk in the park wondering how absurd God is and how hard God is to understand. Because if God created quantum mechanics, and if quantum mechanics is correct, then our God is incredibly vast and incredibly complicated. But Heisenberg's other quote that really struck me, quantum theory provides us with a striking illustration of the fact that we can fully understand a connection, though we can only speak of it in images and parables. We can understand, he says, but images and parables are our only way to understand. And there he's really getting into spiritual language. If it's true for physics that it takes images and parables to understand it, if it's true that my 12-year-old self was completely wrong in thinking that science would one day come down to something simple and would understand it, then how much more must it be true of God? Why does Jesus give us all these images, one after the other? I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth and the life. What's this about turning water into wine at a wedding? The thing about the blind man seeing. Why does God just not come and give it to us simply? Because the only way that we can speak about God is through images and parables. Jesus was the great image maker, the great parable maker. And he is more wonderful than any simple statement can ever say to us. And Jesus says to us today, I'm the bread of life. Now, I can try and explain that a bit. I can try and understand it a bit. But it's pointing towards a truth that is totally beyond what I am able to explain. But I'm going to have a go. I'm going to have a go at saying a few things about this passage that I hope will help us to understand it. And perhaps not so much explain it, but actually help us to see the vastness of what God has done for us. So what I'm going to do in the next few minutes, I'm not going to attempt to take us through all, is it 59 verses of this chapter? Because I'd probably just end up confusing everybody. What I want to do is to pick out some of the key words from John chapter 6 and try and show you the direction that they are pointing in. The first word in this chapter is the word life. It's one of the key words in the whole of John's gospel. John's gospel was written, he said, so that we may know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that so by believing we can have life in his name. We've already sang John chapter 3, verse 16, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have life. I guess to most of us here this morning, this is a familiar text. What you may not have grasped is how often John talks about life. Some of us could have had a counter on the Bible reading this morning. Click it every time the word life comes up. Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. Work for the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus says, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says again, this is all from the reading this morning, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Again, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Next verse after that, Jesus says again, I am the bread of life. Three verses after that, Jesus says the bread that he will give is his flesh, which he gives for the life of the world. Verse 53, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. The next verse, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Verse 63, we didn't quite get this far. Jesus says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. And in the fantastic climax to the chapter that we didn't quite reach, when all the crowds have gone away and rejected Jesus, Jesus speaks to the 12 and he says, do you want to go as well? And Peter's response is, well, who shall we go to? You have the words of eternal life. So John 6, this whole thing about this image of bread is about Jesus saying, I give life, eternal life. Not the life that you got when you were born from your mother. That distinction is drawn out elsewhere in John's gospel. It's not that life. It's a different life. And Jesus is referring back, the crowds do it first, he's referring back to an old story from earlier on in the Bible where the people of God are walking through the desert and God gives them food. And because of that food, their lives are sustained. And Jesus says, what I'm giving you, the purpose that I have come, is to give you the real life. And it links to resurrection. It's Jesus rising from the dead and that resurrection life coming into ours. Now, I'm not going to go through every one of those verses this morning and explain what I think each one of them means. We'd be here all day. But the thing that comes out of all of them is, this is life. Jesus says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And bread to them was their basic food. It was what they ate. I was in another country once, and it seems, you know, every meal we had bread, because it was their staple food. And Jesus said, just as you eat bread as your staple food, just as you eat it, and it's the thing that keeps you alive. So Jesus says, you need me for eternal life. The life that I offer you is not the life that you got from your mum. Another word, I've already mentioned this, but another word that comes up again and again in this chapter, not surprising since they're thinking about the feeding of the 5,000, is the word bread. Jesus says to the crowd, truly I tell you, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. Don't credit Moses when it was really God. But he then goes on to say, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So just as the manna kind of miraculously appeared from God, so Jesus has appeared from God and he gives life to us. And they reply in some fantastic words, although they didn't understand them, they didn't follow it through. They said to Jesus, sir, give us this bread. You know, some things are simple. You can respond to Jesus today and you can say, give me this bread. I want the bread that gives eternal life. You're pointing me towards it. This is what's on offer to me today. And then in this fantastic verse, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, when it comes to normal life, we need food to sustain it. Jesus says, I can give you what you need to sustain eternal life. You're never going to lose it. Jesus says, there is a bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Later on, Jesus says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So this bread, it's this picture of Jesus saying, this eternal life that I give, I can sustain it in you. You're not going to lose it. But we get it by believing in Jesus. And as I said, it's more wonderful, more incredible than anything else that is on offer. So Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. Don't waste your life focusing on this life. Yes, we live in this life. It's God-given. It's great. But there is a greater life which we need to focus on. This chapter also has a lot to say about God, that God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus says that God the Father has placed his seal of approval on Jesus. That when Jesus speaks, God is going, yes, that's right, listen to him. This is the person who knows what he's talking about. See, I can't explain eternal life to you today. I can't explain how it works. I can't really explain what it looks like. But what I can say is that Jesus is saying, the Father's pointing to me at the moment. The Father is pointing to me as the person who can give that eternal life. And here's a great verse about the Father. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So we learn that there is this amazing relationship between the Father and Jesus, God the Father and Jesus. And God the Father is saying to us, you can come to me through my Son. The Father's will, Jesus says. Jesus is stressing, this isn't just me talking. This is the Father talking. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This was the hope of that generation of Jewish people. They believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed that God would raise them up, and in the end they would be victorious. And Jesus says, it's me. I am the one who raises people up. I am the one who resurrects people. That's what eternal life is like. Eternal life is resurrection life. But actually, you can get the bread of that life now. You can be sustained in that life now. The people object. They claim that they know who Jesus' father is, that it's Joseph. But Jesus counters that. Everyone, he says, who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. And now here's a claim and a half. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. So this is, you know, need to get into other pictures from John's Gospel really to get into this. But Jesus is saying, I've come from the Father. I know the Father. And I can reveal the Father to you. So Jesus, God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and he has come in flesh. He's come in a body like us. John chapter 1 describes Jesus as the Word of God become flesh, or the Word of God become human. So you get this thing about eating the flesh. You see, when John talks about the flesh, he doesn't mean physically eating Jesus' body. We symbolize what he said in terms of taking bread and wine. But what he's saying is that Jesus' flesh is the eternal Word of God. To say yes to eating the flesh of Jesus is, first of all, about receiving what Jesus has to say and taking it into ourselves so that Jesus is actually living in us. There are other pictures in John's Gospel that explain that more fully. But Jesus says, when you believe my word, when you take it into yourself, This is the real food. This is the real drink. This is what really sustains you. And we've talked about God as Father and Son. God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is actually only mentioned once directly in John chapter 6. It's in verse 63, where Jesus says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And Jesus says, the words which I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and they are full of life. So today we have a choice. We can either be like most of the crowd and we can say, this is too hard, this is too difficult. Or we can come to Jesus and we can say, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Give me this bread. And no, James hasn't explained it fully today. James can't explain it fully. There's lots James doesn't understand. But I can point you to Jesus, who is more wonderful than anything else.